So we're now going to read the Bible together. You can grab a red Bible from up the back if you don't have one. So we've got the Bible reading there, but we don't have the words on the screen anymore. So if you don't have access to the Bible on your phone, we do recommend grabbing one of the Bibles from the back. So I'll give people a moment to do that. But we'll be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. So Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. If we haven't met before, my name's Keith. And yeah, it's great to be here today. To look at this passage together. I'm from Bay, and we've just finished a series going through the book of Romans, and this is the last sermon I did, so that's why you're getting it, not because I think particularly you need this passage, but I think the passage is, it's hard to understand, but really helpful to think about. So it's my prayer that it's going to be useful today for us. So given that, I want to pray now. Let's pray before we look at it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this bit of your word. Thank you that you've had it written down to speak to us. Help us as we unpack it. Help us think through what it means for us. Whatever week we've had just gone, whatever's going through our minds right now, help us be able to stop now and focus and think about what you would have to say to us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start by talking about the concept of representatives. And many of you, I think, would be familiar with the concept that sometimes we have one person represent a larger group of people. As a quick way to kind of illustrate it, we're going to play a game. I'm going to put a picture up on the screen, and you have to tell me who is that person and what's the kind of larger group that they represent. Okay, so we'll start with someone hopefully quite simple. Who's that? No one knows, no. Speak up. Joe Biden, yeah? So he represents the 330 million people of the USA. He represents them. This person, maybe you will know or maybe you won't. Anyone know who this is? No. Okay, so it's Meg Lanning. She's the Australian women's cricket captain. She represented us 3 weeks ago when Australia won the World Cup. We beat England. And we use that phrase, don't we? We say, we beat England, even though we didn't actually do anything. But she, the other women's cricket players, they represented us. Okay, hope this one, next one's a little bit harder. Hopefully you'll get it. Oh, going twice at a time. Who's that? ScoMo. He's the current Prime Minister of Australia. And we voted, didn't we, to have him as our leader, didn't we? Now, in a few weeks' time, we're going to vote again, have to decide between ScoMo and Albo, you know, which of these is going to be our representative. And we know that the Prime Minister of Australia makes decisions that directly impact us, yeah? All right, one more. This one, last one, definitely is a tough one. Anyone know who this is? Well, in case you bump into him in the street, this is Abdullah II. He is King of Jordan in the Middle East. He represents 10 million people there. Now, the thing with Abdullah is, unlike Biden or ScoMo, he wasn't voted in to have the people represent him. He became king because his family is the royal family there. People didn't get to decide. No, he became the king because of his family. So, you get the idea, don't you? That in society, we have representatives, people that represent a larger group of people. We've got captains, mayors, prime ministers, presidents, kings. And the key with all these leaders is the way that they act actually affects the people they represent. You know, if ScoMo decide to go against to war against New Zealand, well, we're all going to war against New Zealand. And so that means if you've got a good representative, a good president, a good king, well, you share the benefits. But if you've got a bad leader, well, you suffer the consequences. And there's plenty of examples, isn't there, in life where people's bad representatives mean they've got a massive negative impact. You know, think of Gaddafi, Idi Amin, Robert Mugabe, or even think of Putin today. People are represented by him and they've got some negative impacts because of that. So, that's representatives on a large scale. But even on a small scale, we have representatives. Maybe you might get a lawyer to represent you in a court of law. Or parents, I think, in a very real sense, represent their children. You know, their decisions, to a large extent, affect their children. If you've got good, virtuous, wise parents, well, children reap the benefits. But if your parents are immoral, foolish, lazy, then your children suffer, don't they? And so in large ways, in small ways, we have representatives. Some of these we get to choose, like when we vote in the election in a few weeks' time. We get the ballot paper, we get the blurb on the different candidates. But other representatives, we just don't get to choose, like your parents or the captain of the Australian cricket team. We don't get to choose that. We're represented by them whether we like it or not. Now, why on earth am I banging on about representatives? Well, it's because that passage that we just read from Romans 5 is all about representatives. It's about how God uses representatives, how God acknowledges representatives. And it makes us think about who will we have represent us in life. And we're going to have set before us two different people, either Adam, not this Adam, the first Adam. We've got Adam or Jesus as our two potential representatives. And we're going to look at each one of them turn by turn, and we're going to think about what does it mean? What are the consequences of having each of these represent us? And then we'll kind of finish by looking at both of them together. So, let's get into it. Let's start by looking at representative one, Adam. Now, Paul, in that passage we just read, Romans 5, he kept talking about the one man. And by that, he means Adam. And he describes how Adam has represented people. Look at some of these segments from some of the verses. Verse 12 there says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man," that's Adam, "and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." Or verse 15 says, "Many died by the trespass of the one man." Verse 16, "Judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation." Or verse 17 there, "By the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man." Verse 18, "One trespass resulted in condemnation for all people." Verse 19, "Through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners." Can you see what Paul's going on about here? Because of the one man, Adam, we've all been made sinners. We've received condemnation. We've received death. Having him as our representative results in punishment. Now, you might be thinking, well, hang on a minute. how is it that the sin of Adam means that I'm now a sinner? How does his sin condemn me? Now, surely him taking that fruit back in the garden all those years ago, surely that's got nothing to do with me. Why does his sin result in death for me? Well, look again at verse 12. It's a really concise statement about sin and the effects of sin and how sin came into the world. It says there, doesn't it, through the first man, Adam, sin entered the world. And death came through that sin. That's why we live in a fallen world. Adam brought sin into the world. That's why we have death in the world. Death came as a punishment for that sin. Death, both spiritual, both physical death, was a penalty for Adam's sin. Now, God had said to Adam back in the garden, back in Genesis, he said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you'll certainly die." And so Adam and Eve, that they ate the fruit, the result is death. And then the second part of verse 12, Paul says, "In this way, death came to all people because all sinned." And so what's Paul sort of teaching here? He's saying, well, all of humanity bears the guilt of Adam's sin. All mankind have descended from him and so sinned in him. All fell with him at that first transgression. And that in a very real sense, we were right there with Adam when he sinned. And why is it? Because Adam is the representative head of all humanity. He's our representative. Adam's name in Hebrew actually means humanity. And so Adam is both individual man, but he's also corporate man. Now, he represents us just like those representatives I gave at the start. Just like Scott Morrison represents Australia, well, Adam represents us. Now, we can't cry, you know, it's Adam's fault, not mine, because we know the truth of it, that if we'd been there in the Garden of Eden, the result would have been the same. We would have failed the test. And every time we kind of sin now, we sort of cast our vote with Adam. We confirm, yeah, he represents us. We enter the world as sinners, sinners by nature, sinners by choice. And the result of that sin is death. Now, the writer of Psalm 51 sums it up well, saying, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And so, just to be sure that you understand this, let me ask the question again. How is Adam your representative, my representative? Well, when Adam sinned, all sinned. Not just because he's our ancestor, but because Adam is mankind. He's our federal head. He's the representative of the whole human race. You can't say, I wouldn't have done what Adam did because he represents you. And you show that by the way you live in your everyday life. And as we've seen, you know, sometimes we get to choose our representatives, you know, like when we vote in an election. But in this case, we don't, do we? Adam's our representative whether we like it or not. If you're a human, which looking around I think most of us are, if you're a human, he represents you. You know, to kind of illustrate this, picture yourself, you know, going into an election on polling day, on election day. You walk in to vote, you're given a ballot paper. And on that ballot paper, there isn't a list of kind of 10 candidates. So you get to number from 1 to 10. Now, instead, on your ballot paper, you've just got one name to choose from, Adam. And on top of that, it's already ticked for you. That's what you get given. And the blurb that goes on the How to Vote card says, "Vote one, Adam. I promise to bring you condemnation and death." That's what it's like, isn't it? Sorry, Adam, you are coughing it this morning. You can keep this later if you want. And you can't say it's not fair. What if I don't want to vote for him? Because you voted for him by being like him. You voted for him by your actions. Adam represents you, and the result is condemnation and death. Now, it's pretty depressing stuff, isn't it? You know, you should have stayed outside on this nice sunny day. Why did you come here to think about all this? But it's good to see the state that we're truly in, doesn't it? You know, the person who represents us has gone into battle against the maker of the universe, and we've decided to follow him and done likewise. Our president has declared war on God, and we've picked up our arms and we've followed him. We have to see, because Adam sinned, we've sinned. we deserve punishment. Let me reread that last part in verse 19. Through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. Now, it's a great position to be in, but as you might have noticed before, I only read part of each of the verses. And that's because Adam is not the only representative. There's actually an alternative representative we can have. Let's now look at him, Jesus. And let's think about, well, what's the consequences of having Jesus as our representative instead of Adam? It's again sprinkled throughout the whole passage, but let's just look at verse 18 and 19. It's most clear there. And so look at verse 18. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. You see, Adam's trespass, his sin, what do we get? Condemnation, death. But through Jesus' righteous act, that act of him dying on the cross for us, we receive justification, we receive life. Or look at verse 19, it says it again, just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And so through Adam's sin, we're all made sinners, but through Jesus' obedience on the cross, we can be made righteous, right with God. Paul picks up on the theme in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, for in Adam all die, in Christ all be made alive. And so through this one man, Jesus, we can receive salvation. We can receive eternal life. We're saved from the punishment of our sins. We receive that word justification. That means this unmerited favor. God sees us as innocent through Jesus' death. We're made righteous, right with God. We receive life instead of the death we should have received through Adam. And so we need to think about, well, how can we receive this? And I hope you can see it's the representative principle again. You know, through our sin, we're connected to Adam, but through faith, we can be connected to Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, he can be our representative now. And so all believers become part of this new humanity, this humanity where Jesus is the representative head, not Adam. Now, those that believe him and his righteousness, they're counted as righteous because of what Jesus has done. Now, we need to be clear, it's not that everyone is saved because of Jesus. You know, you might focus in on that saying, the many will be made righteous, and think, oh, that means everyone is saved. But that doesn't square up with the rest of Romans or the rest of the Bible, which says you need faith to be saved. We need to think of it as Adam ruins everyone that he represents, which is everyone, but Christ brings life to those that he represents, which is only some people, the people that believe in him. Still many people, but it's not everyone. And so can you see that it's really crucial that we understand how representatives work, and that if we deny that our downfall is due to one representative, Adam, or the argument that our salvation has been accomplished by another representative, Jesus, that collapses, doesn't it? We need to understand, no, God uses representatives, and we can be saved by being represented by Jesus. And there's actually a great sense that throughout the whole Old Testament, God was actually working towards providing a representative we needed. He continually provided people with leaders, didn't he, like Moses or David. But the problem was that each of these human leaders just kept failing like Adam did. And each time one failed, though, there was another one to take up his place. Joshua replaced Moses, David replaced Saul, Elisha replaced Elijah. But the question was always, who was going to be able to take the place of Adam? Who would be able to undo the effects of Adam's sin and become the new representative? And only one person had the necessary qualifications. Only the person who had no sin could replace the person that brought sin. Only the person who had no sin can replace the person who brought sin. And this, I think, is really getting to the guts of why Paul has written this part of Romans. Paul's showing that through Jesus, he's getting to the core of the problem. He's getting to the root of the problem, that original sin. Now, Jesus' death is not just some sort of band-aid solution. No, he's getting right to the very root of it. Now, when I was a teenager, I had a job for a little old lady around the corner. She lived around the corner from me, and I used to weed her garden all the time. I got paid by the hour, and even before I left, she gave me a milkshake and a bicky. It was very nice, a very sweet job, very sweet old lady. Except the problem was, is that I didn't know how to weed properly. My parents aren't exactly green thumbs, and so I hadn't been taught that you don't just rip the top off the weed. You actually have to dig in and get out the roots and everything. Otherwise, the weeds will grow back. And so there I was going around just ripping the tops off the weeds, and a week or so later, they'd just grown back. Now, that was great for business, great for bickies and milkshakes, but not good for the old lady. And I hope you can see that in sending Jesus, God's actually got to the very root of the problem. It's not like he's going around ripping the tops off the weeds like I used to. No, Jesus is our new representative, gets back to that original problem, back to sin. He gets back to us being represented by someone like Adam and replaces him. We can now be represented by him. We can have an alternative. You know, I remember before I said being represented by Adam was like rolling up to a voting booth and just being given this voting slip. One candidate on it, it's already ticked for you. Well, I hope you can see that it's now like this has been thrown away, screwed up. I won't do that. I need it for the second service. But it's now like we've been given a new ballot slip now. It doesn't have one candidate on it. No, it's got two. Because now we can be represented by Adam or Jesus. And I think it's helpful for us to kind of summarise the two together. Oh, we're already there. Let's summarise the two candidates on the ballot paper. Now, as we read it, what's their kind of blurbs going to say if we're going to see? You know, we're going to have our political parties telling us, vote us, you get this, vote us, you get that. We see that all the time. What's it say for Adam and Jesus? Well, Adam, he brings sin and death to us all. Verse 12. Verse 15, his trespass means many die. Whereas Jesus, he gives grace to the many. Verse 16, Adam's sin brings judgment. Jesus' gift brings justification. Verse 17, Adam's trespass means that death reigns. But Jesus, his gift of righteousness means life reigns. Verse 18, Adam's trespass results in condemnation. But Jesus' righteous act means justification and life. Adam's sin in verse 19, his disobedience makes many sinners, but Jesus' obedience makes many righteous. So can you see that that's Adam and Jesus side by side on the how to vote card? And so this now leaves us with the pretty obvious question of who will you have as your representative? Now, who are you going to tick on the ballot paper, so to speak? You know, will we have Adam represent you and give you death, judgment, condemnation? Or will you believe in Jesus? Will you put your trust in him and have him represent you? Will you have his grace, justification, righteousness and life? Who's it actually going to be? Who are you going to vote for? Now, the Puritan Thomas Goodwin said, there are these two men, Adam and Jesus Christ. And these two men have all other men, women and children hanging off their girdle strings. Now, a girdle is not a word we use much anymore, but a girdle's like a belt. And so this guy's saying it's like Adam and Jesus both have belts, and everyone in all of humanity are either hanging off one or the other. Maybe kids, I know you've got your sermon sheets, maybe you can draw this. Draw two men, Adam and Jesus, and everyone else is hanging off one or the other. And so what it means is that every person in this building here and in this town is either hanging off Adam or Jesus. Every person, irrespective of race, gender, social status, goodness, badness, is connected to one man or the other. And so think about that image and ask yourself, am I connected or hanging on to Adam, or am I connected and hanging on to Jesus? And you can't actually do anything about being in Adam. As we saw earlier, that's your default vote, isn't it? But by the grace of God, you can change today and radically be in Jesus. You can hang off him. Now, you can rub out your vote next to Adam. You can put your vote and your trust in Jesus instead. And so, friend, will you do that today? Now, some of you might be holding off in believing in Jesus. I know particularly this happens with our young people, but it can happen to adults as well. You might have this sense of, oh, I can't be a Christian yet, I'm not good enough, I'm not sure yet, I need to wait a bit longer, then I'll commit to believing in him. But I hope you can see today, no, it's not about you being good enough. Now, you're either hanging off one or the other. It's who you have your faith in. Who will you trust to represent you? And I know many of you here today already trust in Jesus. Praise God for that. It's an encouragement today to keep doing that. Keep believing in him. But I think for you, it's also good for you to think about the people around you, your workmates, your family, your colleagues, your neighbours, and think about, well, who are they hanging off? Are they hanging off Jesus? Or are they hanging off Adam? You know, we don't know exactly what's going on in people's hearts, but if you think someone seems to be still hanging off Adam, shouldn't today be a reminder to pray for them and connect with them again and remind them that they can be connected to Jesus instead? Shouldn't that be our desire? Or perhaps you are someone who does believe in Jesus. You know you're hanging off Jesus, but you still feel bogged down in your sin. Maybe think that sin that you struggle with happens because of your ancestors. It comes through your family line. You can't get rid of it. You know, maybe you're thinking something like, you know, my grandfather was a drinker, my dad was a drinker, I'm going to be a drinker, my kids are going to be a drinker. You know, you might have that feeling of, oh, this sin just goes through my family line. But actually, no, we can see today that Jesus changes this. Now, we know that we can now be represented by Jesus, not our forefathers or Adam anymore. No, we can be now hanging off Jesus, being made slowly like him. We're not represented by someone who kind of drags us down. No, we're represented by someone who lifts us up and wants us to be like him, away from our old self. We're not being led by someone who's trapped by sin. No, if you're in Jesus, you're led by someone who has defeated sin. We stand in him now. We can have confidence that sin has lost its grip. Sin isn't the ultimate victor. God's working to eradicate sin in us. And so, as we finish on this question, who will you have as your representative? Will you have Adam? Will you have Jesus? Now, if you've been challenged by this today, don't leave today without chatting to someone about this. If you've realised, no, I want to be in Jesus, not in Adam anymore, well, chat to someone about that. And if you've been moved today because you're thinking about someone who you think, oh, I think they're still in Adam, I'd love them to be in Jesus. Well, don't leave today without praying for them and thinking about how can I connect with them this week. And if you've been challenged today because you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm in Jesus, but I still seem to be acting in a way that seems like I'm in Adam. Well, chat to someone about that today as well. Pray about that today as well. Let's be real. Let's be honest with each other about where we're at. For now, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and this chance to look at this passage. We can see so clearly that we have been represented by Adam. We see that the way he acted in the garden, straight up there, is the same as we would have acted and the same that we act now. But we thank you so much for providing Jesus. Thank you for providing that alternative representative that we can have. Help us put our faith and our trust in him today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.